Every time we open up the Word of God, there's an opportunity. Because every word that is preached under the power of the Holy Ghost is an anointed word, a rhema word, a right now, delivering, saving, freeing word. So we have an opportunity today to be changed by the Word of God. Are you ready? And for a subject today, and you'll understand it as I go on if you don't get it when I first say it. Amen. We were in the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the action gospel. Yes. Amen. All action. Just Jesus just moving and touching and healing, saving, delivering, and anointing. And so we're in the book of Mark, and we're going to use for a subject today, stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll. And if you've never heard that before, I'll explain it to you. Amen. Stop, drop, and roll is a fire safety technique. And I was born and raised in California, so as you know, it's a very hot and dry state. So where some states, students were taught the technique on paper, we actually got to go outside, stop, drop, and roll. Now, as you can imagine, a lot of the little boys thought that was the best thing ever. They would jump on top of each other and roll all over each other. But the technique always kept and caught my attention. Stop, drop, and roll. Because what they were trying to do is to get folks prepared, should you ever catch fire, to put out that fire. And so while I never caught fire when I was growing up, I knew what to do if, by chance, I caught fire. And so we would practice it over and over and over again until it became second nature to us. We could say it. We could do it. We could talk about it. Stop, drop, and roll. Everybody say, stop, drop, and roll. And so in the spirit realm, we will catch fire sometimes. The Bible calls it trouble, trials, tribulation. And we can catch fire in our health like mine. Anybody got a health issue in here today? Look around. A financial fire. A work fire. A relationship fire. Life on fire. But the body of Christ, interestingly, doesn't always have a plan, a fire safety plan to put out the fire. And so the tendency when we catch fire in the physical realm is to do what? Run. What happens to fire when it picks up oxygen? And that's the tendency in the spirit. Is to run. How many of you know people, or maybe you're that person, who as soon as a trial hits, the first thing to go by the wayside is church? You stop coming. The saints of God try to reach you. You don't pick up. You see it's Minister Shared's text, and you don't bother to read it? Because your life has caught fire. And the first tendency is to run. But somebody understood years ago, from the time I was a little child, that if you would stop, drop, and roll, stop where you are so that you don't pick up oxygen in the fire, drop down on the ground or on the floor so that somebody can beat the fire out of you. Or that you can roll. Roll around until you put out the fire. What if we took that concept and applied it to our spiritual lives? Amen. So some of us think that the stop today will be stop drinking, smoking, cussing, sleeping with people you're not married to. That's 101. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're doing those things, you want to. I'm going to stop right there and let that sink in for a second. If you're doing those basic things, you want to do them. And you have to determine when you want to stop doing that. Some of you may be thinking we're saying, you know, stop missing Bible study, stop missing choir rehearsal, stop missing Sunday mornings. Again, when you're ready, you'll get here. So that's not the stop we're talking about. But now let's go into the Word of God. Jesus is on the move. He has landed in the beginning of chapter 5 in the land of the Gadarenes, and there's a man there, a demoniac, and he is filled with demons. So we're going to run through that story real quick. Bottom line is there's a group of swine, a herd of swine, and Jesus allows the demons to go into the pigs, and the pigs jump off the cliff, and they drown. So Jesus then gets in the ship and travels. So we pick up in verse 21 where he ends up on the other side of the sea. Yeah. Now look at verse 21 carefully, because in that verse it says that Jesus was near the sea when the people thronged him. Near the sea, meaning he couldn't get off the ship good. Wow. He couldn't even move inland. Wow. He just stepped off the boat and there they were. The people knew he was coming. They were waiting for him. And one of the first people that got to him was a man named Jairus. Yeah, yeah. Now, please understand, Jairus had title. He had money. He had prestige. He had notoriety. He had knowledge. This was a man of renown. We have some people sitting right here in the congregation who have status on their job, in their family. They are people of renown. They've got a good reputation, and all is well with them, and this is Jairus' status. But Jairus has run up to the coast to talk to Jesus. Now, when he gets there, look at what he said. I'm going to paraphrase. Jairus runs up to Jesus. He's been waiting for him. He's got this whole plan put together. I'm going to get to Jesus, and I'm going to invite him to come and lay hands on my sick daughter at my house. Isn't that what he said? He said, come with me. Come to my house. My daughter's sick. I need you to come with me and lay your hands on her. Stop. Stop, stop, stop. You cannot design your own deliverance. You cannot design your own healing. If I could, I'd be well right now. You cannot design your own financial windfall. You know how I know you can't design it? Because Jesus said to him, okay, come on. But then I want you to remember the centurion soldier in another part of the Bible. The centurion soldier said, you don't have to come to my house. All you have to do is speak, and my servant will be healed. And guess what? Jesus did that. And so that's why you can't design your own deliverance. Because when you box God in by telling him specifically how to deliver you, guess what? The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Bible says whatever you ask for, that's what you'll have. So whenever you ask for healing, you want to box him into medicine, doctors. You want to box God in, and God is saying, I'll do whatever you ask. And it didn't work out. Stop. Stop. So somebody in here right now, you know that you need to be healed. You know you need to be delivered and set free. You know you need your finances made well. But you've been telling God how to do it. Stop. Stop. Because you will box him in. Not that he can't go around what you say, but because he's a gracious God. He's a gentleman. The Bible says he stands at the door. He's not going to knock it down. He's a gentleman. So when you ask him for something specific, be careful how specific it is. Make sure you just say, God, please heal me. As thou wilt, heal me. Whenever you say, heal me, However you want to do it, heal me. Father, you know I got more bills than money. Fix it. Increase my resources. Stop saying, give me a new job, give me a raise. God is more creative than that. Stop. I want him to be as absolutely creative as he wants to be. I want him to look at my life and say, wow, I could do this and I could do that. And she has not boxed me and she just said, I need this. Anybody there? Stop. Stop, stop, stop. The Bible says that that was a major fail. And the way we know that is because Jesus starts to move toward his house, but then the crowd stops him from moving. If this man had said, heal my daughter, it had been done. Stop. So now he's in a holding pattern. Now he needs to drop his plan. Drop it. Drop, drop. He needs to be a humble man. Mind you, this man is well known. Most of the people, I guarantee you, that were around Jesus were poor people, sick people, people with issues. Here's a man with status who now has to humble himself and wait for Jesus to get through the crowd. So some of you, your drop is to humble yourself. Many of us think we're humble, but we're not really. Not really. And the reason I know that we're really not humble is because some of you are sitting there right there. She's not talking to me. I am humble. I do this, that, and the third. Well, go ahead with your pseudo-humble self. Because that's not real. So this man has to humble himself and move along with the crowd. Some of them are dirty. Some of them he wouldn't eat dinner with. But now he's trapped up in this crowd trying to move with Jesus, make sure he keeps a good eye on him. Can't get him lost in the crowd. But look at what he created by his lack of faith. Thinking that Jesus had to come and literally lay hands on her. Don't let lack of faith make you have to humble yourself. We should be humble, but don't let your lack of faith be the reason that you have to humble yourself now. He's moving in the crowd. His plan's on hold. And now he just got to roll with it. If you are in a holding pattern today, you're going to have to let it play out. Look at somebody and say, just let it play out. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know when he's going to pick your case back up again. I don't know what he's going to do and when he's going to do it, but I know that he is going to do it. So you're just going to have to roll with it till that fire goes out. Till God beats it out, or Lord have mercy. Because he'll do that too. We're going to see that in a minute. So he had to stop trying to define what God needs to do in your life. Stop trying to put words to it. Didn't he say his thoughts are not ours? Stop trying to articulate what God is doing. Me and Junior, we do that all the time. We'll post miracle. We try to articulate. Did you see that? And I know he was doing this and that, but did you see that? And that's a good time because we got history with God. But how many of you know that we get to the point where we say, well, we know we didn't see it all? Absolutely not. There's no way that he could reveal everything that he did because we couldn't handle it. So a lot of us need to just stop talking and start trusting. Then drop down, knock your own self down a peg. When you have an education, it can be the most detrimental thing in the world when you're educated. I thought about a year and a half ago, I thought about going to get a doctorate. And it lasted for about 5 minutes for multiple reasons. Uh-huh. Number one, I couldn't handle that. Put doctor in front of my name and you're going to have a mess. Because I'm going to remind you that I'm Dr. Shared. I already know it. I already know it. So I said no, for multiple reasons. No, just no. So some of us need to drop down and be humble. I mean, really, genuinely, genuinely humble. I always say about Brother Mitchell over here, I appreciate his ministry. He goes places most people don't want to go. He talks to people most people don't want to talk to, and I appreciate that. And I know God appreciates that. That kind of humility. Then, while you are in a holding pattern, just roll with it. Let it play out. God is still working. We just don't see it. Right? This man is still moving. He's still got his eyes on Jesus, trying to make sure he doesn't get lost in the crowd. All the while, he's wondering what's going on at home. Is she still? And so we got life is still going on. But because of his lack of faith is what it really boiled down to. And him naming what he thought God ought to do. Now he's in a holding pattern. Anybody in here, you don't have to raise your hand. Anybody in a holding pattern? You know it. You know it's coming. The deliverance is coming. But you just don't know when and how. You're on hold. Amen. Just roll with it. Just roll with it. Now, another character comes on the scene. Jesus is trying to get to Jairus' house to heal the daughter. But all of a sudden, here's a whole different situation. Now you have a woman with an issue of blood. She's been bleeding steadily for 12 years. She should be dead, quite honestly. But she's not. How many of us are in here who should have been dead? You've had sharp objects held to your throat. Oh, wait a minute. That's my testimony. You guns pulled on you. Thank God that's not mine. You've been in fights and dark places and taking substances into your body that could have killed you and all kinds of stuff. Worse. Worst case, you didn't do any of that. And you think you're perfect. Got saved at 5, 6 years old. Never been to a club. Never drank any alcohol. You are a tough case. Because you're not sure sometimes what God really delivered you from. Stop. So, here's a woman who's got a medical issue that has separated her from everything and everybody. She can't be around her family. Her husband has left her, undoubtedly. She can't even go to church. The community has ostracized her because of her condition. And the Bible says she has gone from doctor to doctor to doctor to try to get well. Now, I did a little research on what they did back then with situations like this. They did some quacky stuff. I won't bore you with the details, but one of the craziest ones I heard is they would have a person who had a blood disease. They would have the person hold a cup of wine, not drink it, mind you, hold it, stand at a crossroads, and try to have somebody run up behind them and scare them. That's the remedy. Yeah. And that was one of the mild ones. So she, when it says she suffered many things, you have no idea what she had been through. Even in the 21st century, you go to the doctor, they may put you through all kinds of stuff. You got to get in a tube called an MRI. If you're claustrophobic, God bless you. They're going to have to knock me out. I've never had one. But I'm not trying to be in one. No. They put all kinds of tubes and needles and monitors and all kinds of stuff. They give you all kinds. I'm on some medication now that makes me feel strange and wait, I got to take that one until I get to the real one. It is just, you know, suffered many things of the doctors. Suffered many things. And the Bible says she had run out of money. So where Jairus was well-to-do, she was poor. Where Jairus went up to Jesus openly, and the Bible says he fell down and worshiped, she went into him secretly. Look at the difference. where Jairus felt comfortable pushing people out of the way. He was a man of renown. I need to get to Jesus. So he had no problem bumping and moving people out of the way. But because she had been ostracized, she was hiding and trying to get to him secretly. Look at the difference. Jairus went on somebody else's behalf. She went on her own behalf. How many of us sneak in here on a Sunday? Sneak in. We don't want anybody to know what our real issue is. And so while everybody else is praising, we just got a tear come down. A very different situation than Jairus's. This woman is in hiding, but she needs to be healed. So what I would say to you, where's the stop in here? Stop going to the world for your remedy. She ran out of money, understandably so. She thought that if she kept going to the doctor, somebody would heal her. Some of us think if I keep going to the club, somebody will marry me. Oh, yeah, I went there. If I keep playing the lottery, I'll hit the numbers one day. Keep going to the world. If I keep doing a good job at work, they'll promote me. Keep looking at the world for your resources. The devil is a lie. I'm not waiting on a man at work to tell me anything. And look at God. Look at this. Go back to the first stop. Stop telling God you need more money. I need more resources. Why are you boxing him into green? Do you know that there's a whole bunch of stuff in the world that spins? Lord have mercy. I promise we box God in. I stop asking him for money. Resources. Where's the resources? Where's those stocks, those bonds? Where's those opportunities? You know, I remember a few Sundays ago we were talking about people retiring, and I threw out 15. Not because I have to work for 15 more years. I like to work. And so I see myself retiring from my main job and then doing consulting work. Resources. I got a lot to offer as a consultant. We keep boxing God in. I'm going to be out there on the circuit. We paid somebody, and I know this is going to bless somebody, or he wouldn't have me talking about it. We paid somebody to come into my workplace. He was there for half a day, and we gave him $5,000. And then look at Jesus. At the end of the day, God had me on the agenda, and I got nothing for it, but that's all right, though. Because guess what I heard for feedback? Well, that was better than the guy. Stop boxing. Resources. My God, somebody got blessed right there. Stop going to the world asking the world for everything you have or everything you need. Because it's not there. My help comes from the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. My God. That's where I'm going. So stop going to the world. This woman had been everywhere she could to try to get accepted, try to get healed, try to get better. And nothing, it said she got nothing better, but she got worse. You do realize that the more and more you run to the world and people and things and situations, the worse you are for it. The wear and tear on your life, if nothing else. You get worn out trying to get stuff out of this world. Ringing out a blessing from the world, ew. And it's tiring. And it shows. I'm with you, Minister Osborne. I don't look like what I've been through. I know I don't. Why? Because I know where my help comes from. I've been stopped running to people. Stop. Now, this woman dropped, literally. The Bible says in Matthew, she touched the hem of his garment, the border of his garment. And mind you, she didn't want to be seen. So I promise you, she laid prostrate on the ground. Jairus came walking straight up. She got down low in the dirt and the dust. You know they didn't have pavement back then. So she got down there and touched and reached out and touched. She dropped down. Some of us have not been on our knees to pray in years. I'm talking literally. Now, I'm guilty of this one because many times I will be laying down in this bed ready to go sleep, and I'll do a nice prayer and whatnot, but I need to be on my knees. Now, how many of you know when you get to be our age, that's not as easy as it used to be? It's a process. Then be some long prayers because I'm thinking about how I'm going to get up from here. But sometimes you need to get down on your knees. The Bible talks about laying prostrate before him. Sometimes you need to lay out in his presence and pray and talk to God. That's what she did. She dropped. She literally dropped down and touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says immediately she could sense in her body that the blood was dried up. Immediately she was healed. What a blessing. Now look at that kind of faith as opposed to Jairus' faith. Jairus said he had a formula for his daughter to be healed. You come to my house, you lay hands on her, and she can get healed. Very small box. This woman just said, I don't even have to touch him. Just let me touch what he's wearing. Didn't he say if you have the faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed? Little bit. Yeah, little teeny bit. And she reached out and touched him, and she got healed immediately. Now, this is her issue. She got healed, and she thought she was just going to sneak off. Many of us have been saved and delivered and set free, and you think that you are not going to have to tell that testimony? Oh, yes, you are. You're going to have to tell that testimony. There's a group of people called I Am Affiliated, and these are people who have been in jail and got saved. And what they do, they go right back to jail. And they go back and get people like them. Everybody's not going to have to get into a group, but you will have to tell that story. Sister Ivy, always, once a year, she always tells her miraculous story. And it's a blessing. It blesses people. Because she tells people how she was shot in the face close range, and she's alive. You're going to have to tell that. So whenever God calls you out to make you an example of his glory, you're just going to have to roll with it. You're just going to have to roll with it. You're going to have to, and you can't take any of the glory for yourself. Now, mind you, he said, who touched me? His disciples who had been walking with him for a while, they were some, I tell you. But I guarantee you, if we had been one of the disciples, we'd be the same way. We always talk about it. Man, if I was walking with Jesus, I would never doubt him. Yes, we would. Same way. So he calls her out, and she says, okay, yeah, about that. It was me. But listen, look at why he did that. He did it so that she would know for sure that she was healed. If he doesn't call you out sometimes,
She could be thinking, well, next month, is it going to start up again? You know, I don't know if I'm going to have to go through this again. I think it's healed. I'm going to have to go home and see. And he said, no, let me assure you, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Yeah. Yeah. So just roll with that. Just let it play out. Because a lot of times when God is having you do things, you don't understand why you're going through them. It's because he gets glory from it. So just let it play out. Just roll with it. I don't know when this healing is going to come. But just let it play out. Sister Ellen, let it play out. He's got a plan. And we just have to roll with it. So he said, come here. It was you. Your faith has made you whole. But he also needed everybody in the crowd to know. You can accept her back into the fold now. She's clean. She's all right. Her family, you can embrace her now. The church, she can go to church now. He needed them to know as well. So Jesus always has a reason for calling you out. So don't think it's to embarrass you. He's not trying to make a spectacle out of you like a sideshow. But when you tell your testimony, you free somebody. I guarantee you when this brother talked about being on crack, somebody in here, even if it's not you, you got a family member. Let me tell you something that happened early in the service. When the three brothers walked in, I can't see far away. I thought the man sitting here on the end was my brother, Hiawatha. And I turned to my sister to say, but she didn't have that look like, yeah, I see that. So I thought my brother had got cleaned up and he was doing well. Why? Because I got that kind of faith. Soon as I said, that's my brother, all cleaned up, look at God. And then she's looking like, what? Then I said, oh, that's not him. And then my real brother came in. But guess what? I still believe God. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I'm not boxing God in. I'm saying, do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Lord have mercy. So she stopped going to the world looking for her healing. She literally dropped down to touch his garment. And then as he called her forward, even though it was uncomfortable and she didn't want to go, and it was hard, she had been used to hiding from people. And now God is saying, I need to expose this. And she just went with it. She just let it play out. Stop, drop, and roll. We got to have a plan for how to get through life's trials and tribulations and troubles. We can't act like Christians don't have trouble. This young man who's looking to be saved, let me tell you, you probably already are, just because you're seeking Jesus. But we confirm that in the Word of God. And I guarantee you, though, you're going to still have trouble. But here's the difference. You go through it with help. You're never alone. And then as you submit your life to Christ more and more, do I have any witnesses? He begins to fix stuff that you didn't think was fixable. Won't he do it? Stuff you thought was over. This woman had been bleeding for 12 long years. She probably thought she would never be healed. And all with one touch, she was made whole. I still got a couple of 2-3 things that have been going on for years and years and years. And my expectation is still that it shall be done unto me. So I'm just going to let it play out. Let me read something with you. Go over to Hebrews. We're done. Go over to the book of Hebrews. Jesus understood all about fire safety. He knew well how to put out a fire. Start in verse 25 of Hebrews 12. Chapter 12, verse 25. And catch me. It says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised," "saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Why? For our God is a what? Jesus understood fire safety. He said, "I'm going to have to stop this downward spiral of mankind who is burning up with sin. Because if the wrath of God's fire gets a hold to Mary, she will be consumed." Jesus said, "I better stop this sinful nature of man before they end up in an eternal devil's hell." So the Bible says, because he knew how to stop the wrath of God from coming on you and from coming on me, the Bible says he dropped down from heaven. The Bible says he took off glory and dropped down as low as he could. Low for him was the earth. You do understand that this is as low as I can get. I can't get no worse than I am down here. I can't get no worse than I am down here. This is the worst that you'll ever experience, is here on the earth. So Jesus dropped down here on the earth. And the Bible says not only did he drop down on the earth, but he dropped further down into hell. He dropped down into hell so you wouldn't have to, and I wouldn't have to, so we wouldn't have to. So Jesus said, "Let me stop this foolishness. Let me drop down on the earth and see what's going on." Then he got down here and looked around and said, "Oh my Lord, what is this?" He said, "But because God has a plan, I'm going to just let it play out. I'm going to just roll with it. Even though I don't want to stay here for 33 years, I'm going to just roll with it. I'm just going to let the plan play out. I'm just going to roll with it. When they ostracize my name, I'm just going to let it play out. When they don't receive my word, I'm just going to let it play out. Because I know that in the end, God's wrath shall be satisfied. And the fire shall be put out." Thank you, Jesus. So the Bible says that when he got 12 years old, he went into the temple and they asked him questions and he answered questions. So he just rolled with their nonsense so that he could show them that he was God in the flesh. And the Bible says that when he got a little older, he went to a wedding and his mother said, "Why don't you turn this water into wine?" And he said, "Woman, it's not time for me to do this yet." But the Bible says he rode with it. He just let it play out. So he went on and turned the water into wine. And the Bible says from that first miracle, he just began to let it play out. And the Bible says he went place to place healing people. The blind got their sight back. The people that were lame got their legs back so they could dance a little. The Bible says that the woman with the issue of blood, her blood dried up after 12 long years. The Bible says he fed people off of nothing. He took 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread or whatever, and then he multiplied it and he gave it back to them. And the Bible says he just let it play on out. And then when it was time for him to go to Calvary, he said, you know what? I could call some angels right now and tie this thing all up. He said, but I'm going to let it play out. And the Bible says he went into the garden and he dropped down himself. So if Jesus dropped down on his face to pray to God, what makes us think we don't need to? He went into the garden and dropped on his face. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, God, but yours be done. He said, I'm going to just roll with it. I know they're going to beat me, but I'll just let it play out. And the Bible says they beat him, spit on him, mocked him. And after a while, he just stopped talking. He said, I'm going to just let it play out. Somebody just needs to stop talking. Just let it play out. Just roll with it. And then the Bible says that when he was up on the cross, he took care of some last bits of business because it was part of God's plan. And the Bible says he stopped dying just for a few minutes to make sure that we were forgiven, to make sure that the thief on the cross who wanted to be saved could be saved, to make sure that his mother was provided for. How many of you know Jesus cares about every detail of your life? He cares about every detail of your life. And then after scripture had been fulfilled, I thirst. Fulfilled so much scripture we can't even go into it. After scripture had been fulfilled, the Bible says he dropped his head in the locks of his shoulders. And he died. He gave up the ghost. And the plan was fulfilled. How many of you know that whatever is going on in your life, whether you're on hold, perhaps you've already got your deliverance, and he's going to reveal it and bless other people, wherever you are in this walk with the Lord, every plan of God will come to pass. Every plan. And if you are a child of God, you have a plan. You have one. And every piece of it will come to pass. They took him down from the cross, put him in the grave. But the Bible says that here is the climax of the story. That after 3 days, he rose with all power in his hand. And that same power is the power that makes this word rhema for you. That power. That resurrection power is what makes this word alive in your life. Amen. And so today, Jesus has satisfied the wrath of God for those who believe. If you believe that Jesus paid for your sins with his blood, and if you believe that he died for you, and if you believe that he rose from the dead, and if you believe that he is seated right now on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us all, if you believe that, then God has no more consuming fire for you. He has a prepared place for you. And as great, Sister shared, as your vacation was, and as restful, it pales in comparison to what the Father has prepared for us. I can't wait to see. Amen. We always talk about the streets that are paved with gold, but that's not what the Bible says. It says the streets are made of gold and clear like glass. Imagine gold so pure that it's clear. Only God.